Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm here with Ben Green. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
We're in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
Is it Thanksgiving week?
What do you mean?
I mean, when does it start? Thanksgiving's on Thursday, right?
Yeah, it's the week of Thanksgiving. It's not a week.
It's not a week.
No, it's Thanksgiving.
So it's just a day?
Are you being stupid?
No, but why have we stopped filming then for the week?
It's Thanksgiving week.
So is it a week or is it a day?
Well, it's a week of celebration. No, it's not a week celebration. It's a day celebration, but we've taken the week off.
Right, okay.
I think that's pretty clear.
Okay, I think Thanksgiving is a load of shit. Do you like Thanksgiving?
Well, it's not anything to do with us, so it's not really for us, is it?
Well, I don't think it should be anything to do with the Americans either. I think it's a fucking savage on them. Let's just drop it. Like, if Christmas is a nice holiday, Thanksgiving, I'm not on board with it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why do I not get to do it proper guests? Sorry, really? I was waiting for a moment to bring this up.
Yeah, go on, what?
Why is it now that I get, like, your mum,
yeah,
and now just you, and Rupert sort of gets all the good people and the people that actual hip hop artists?
Because
that wasn't the best segue into that, I'd realise. But
well,
as I was driving over here, that's all I really wanted to ask you. But
hold on, hold on.
Thanksgiving was boring, so.
No, you did the one with Dab.
Yeah, that was good. But it feels like now that I feel like we're. And why isn't your mum here as well?
My mum is in the building.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sort of. I don't want to, like, sort of kill her off. I don't mean that. What I mean is, it was fun last time.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do. And this is a bonus episode. There's not supposed to be a guest in this episode.
Yeah.
So I could have done this on my own.
Right.
But so I have tried recording an episode of my own.
Yeah.
And we edited it and everything, and it was unlistenable.
Was it actually, though?
Well, it was me, like, I don't know, maybe I'll put it out at some point, but it was me, like, comparing hip-hop from 2017 to hip-hop from 2007 as, like, a 10-year Ramesh looks back kind of thing. And
yeah.
I looked at the top 10 artists of 2007 and I compared them to the top 10 artists of 2017 and
sort of
looked into the various trends of hip-hop and what that meant for the state of the art form, and I sort of compared kind of record sales versus, and one of the interesting things I pointed out was that your sort of numbers work differently now, because it used to be like CDs.
Okay, okay.
Stuff like that. It used to be physical copies, but now in 2017, it's very much digital downloads. You know, the music industry's in a very different.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm.
Yeah, I think you've done it now. You don't need to put it out, that's for sure.
By the way, that is why exclusively talked about in my garage for about an hour. It's edited and ready to go. We can put it out now.
Why was
it? If you wanted that episode to come out, tweet me.
Don't. Please do not tweet him. Can I ask, at what point did you realise that it was slightly self-indulgent?
Very early on. But the thing is, like, you listen to, like other, like, comics and stuff, like Bill Burr.
Yeah.
He just does a thing.
It's fucking funny, isn't he?
Yes, he is very funny. But the point is, I didn't think it'll be easy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I thought, but, like, I just sort of thought I'd start talking. What I didn't realise is, regardless of how little the other person speaks, it makes it infinitely more awkward if you're on your own. Because, like, you sort of just start waffling. And then, like, sometimes, like, Rupert will be silent for 45 minutes at a time when we're doing the pod.
Don't say
But
that.
It's just looking at his little face, and I know that when I'm talking, if he agrees with it or he disagrees with it, normally He agrees. He's got, I look, just look in his little eyes, and I think I'm making a point that he agrees with, and I'm going to carry on down. Every now and again, I say something he finds a little bit controversial, and he'll shake his little head, like, and then I'll stop, and I'm in between. So it's nice to have that. Do you know what I mean? That
affirmation.
Really,
yeah. No, I can see that. But so I will be allowed to meet. I didn't do anything wrong with Dabbler. It wasn't like they've complained or anything. There was nothing.
No, and in fact, I would go so far as to say, your Alicia Keys message thing was the highlight.
Do you want me to...
Yeah, you might as well bash it out again, mate. I mean,
this really is a bonus podcast. You don't give a shit about it, do you? Go on.
I wanted to ask you about that. What does your wife think about how you spoke? Because she listened to the podcast, right?
Yes, she did.
And she heard you sort of, with a hard-on, kind of describe how exciting it was for you to have Alicia Keys say yes, babe. And well, you repaid it over and over again, and you talked about it for most... That's what you talked about more than anything else. Does she get pissed
off? There was a lot edited out about me talking about it, I noticed.
I know, for the benefit of your marriage. But, like, what did she say about it? Was she annoyed about it at all?
Well, look, if she gets, like... If she had John Legend on her phone...
Right.
...going yes, babe, to her, she could be happy, but she's not got that.
And how would you feel? Because I know...
Yes, babe.
Right. It is good, isn't it?
Hey, Alicia. Yes, babe.
Okay, so, but if she did have John Legend, you'd be pissed off.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't allow it.
She wouldn't allow it.
Because actually, he was in the car with Alicia. He's a very charming man.
Right. And your wife was in the country at that time, right? And she likes John Legend. Am I right in saying that she wasn't working and she'd come over to America
to support me?
To
yeah.
support you doing.
She gave up a job. She had a good job.
So she had a job on.
Yeah,
she said, gave that up.
Yeah,
you knew that you were recording with John.
But she also knew my dream was to direct Carpool Karaoke, and I've always dreamt about that.
That was your dream. That's okay. So she knew that. So she's helping you chase your dream of directing Carpool Karaoke.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as much as she loves John Legend, you know you're going to be...
I don't think she knew who John Legend was until... I'm just saying he was a good-looking man. She's not like a fan.
No, she's not a fan of John Legend.
No.
Oh, so why are we having this fucking hypothetical conversation?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Okay. Should we do these Twitter things?
Yeah, fine.
Should we get your mum in?
No, we don't need to get my mum in.
It'd be better with her.
No, we're not getting my mum in. Okay, so we'll get my mum in a bit.
She was out. She wanted to come and do it. I was talking to her. She said she does genuinely want to come in.
Okay, we'll get her in a bit. Okay, but I don't think she's going to be able to answer some of these questions. So, all right. So I tweeted, please send me questions and things you'd like discussing Hip Hop Save My Life, and we got a few. This is just me because I haven't got any idea about how to generate content, so I just thought I'd just put a tweet out and see what happens. So, first question, Ben, you've got the tweet in front of you. What's the first question you want to address?
Do we have to say who they're from? Is that
yeah? I think it's. Because I've realised... the trouble of sending have you not got that information?
I've got for some of them.
Okay, tell me the question and I'll tell you.
Well, I think I've copied this wrong. I've got Average Henry.
It's Savage Henry.
Okay, right.
All right. @paper_street. Okay.
He says, do you think without Premier, Pete Rock, Q-Tip and Large Professor, that Illmatic would have still had the same impact as a debut album?
Okay.
Who answers it?
What's your opinion, first of all?
Well, it's an odd question because what I'd say is without, I mean, I guess the spirit of the question I get, but you know, obviously without those producers, it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't work. But like what I think is interesting about it is like how I think it was one of the first like albums that had multi-producer on one album. Normally you get one. And I think that changed it. And I think you could argue that it was good because you get the, you know, it's sort of Pharrell and people like that on the back of that come up, you know, producing sort of one or two tracks as opposed to having to create a whole album. But I think a lot of people would argue that most of the multiple producer albums were terrible after that and meant that sort of you never had like a single vision.
Yeah. Well, I think like hip hop went through a phase of having albums that were just like, you know, like you'd be looking for the producers, you'd be looking for the featured artists and shit. So it wouldn't be like a proper... I agree with you, is basically what I'm saying. What I would say with regards to Nas is Nas's flow at that time was just... I mean, it still is. But what I mean is you'd never heard it before at that stage. Like this kid who rapped the way that he did was amazing. But you can always have this debate about whether beats or lyrics are more important. But what I would say is, for most listeners, I think if the beat is shit and the lyrics are good, that track's probably going to flop, right? But if the beat is great and the lyrics are shit, have I said that the right way around?
Yeah, I think so.
Then that track could still be successful. So, like, I'm not saying beats are more important than lyrics, but, well, I guess that is what I'm saying. What I mean is, on first listen, producers are like super important. Like, and particularly now, like when people listen to music, and I said this in my solo podcast where I compared 2007 to 2017, that music is so disposable in 2017 compared to 2007. I shouldn't be giving you all this gold from my analysis. But like, people just throw away tracks. They listen to stuff and then throw it away. They don't have growers now, do you know what I mean? People just check it out and then dash it. You know what I mean? Anyway, the reason I think this is a good question is, first of all,
yeah,
do you remember when Nas and Lauryn Hill first came with If I Ruled the World? Like, yeah. That was his lead single from It Was Written.
Yeah.
His next album, After Automatic. And I remember listening to the thing, oh, this is good. And then I listened to it again. I thought, yeah, it's all right. Now, listen, I think that track's great now, but at the time I was disappointed. Because it's Trackmasters, right?
Like, yeah.
Not because of their name, but just because it's a super poppy track, right? And like, you're thinking that's the same Nas that did Halftime. Do you know what I mean? That's the same Nas that did Life's
That
a Bitch.
Whole album. I'm trying to think if there was anything I liked on that album.
I know.
Which is the one.
I mean, the truth is, though, Ben, is okay, just so you know, my opinion of Ben's opinion is very low when it comes to Nas, because first of all, he's outed himself as a fan of Nas and Ginuwine's You Owe Me.
That's a great.
You can't say there was nothing good when it was written, and then say, but You Owe Me was a good track. So much so, by the way, that we went to see Nas and Lauryn Hill at the Hollywood Bowl. And when Nas played you, fuck knows why he played You Owe Me.
It's a great song.
I've got no idea why he did that.
The whole Hollywood Bowl.
Just imagine, Made You Look, like shit like that. He's banging out all these halftime, all these songs, one mic, and then suddenly he plays You Owe Me. And then
it's weird he sung the Ginuwine part as well.
Ben looked across at me as if to say, told ya.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was a great shit song.
What is your... I don't understand why you don't
it's
like
it. It's just crap. It's like... The beat is dreadful. It sounds like somebody phoned up Nas and said, I've produced an album, but weirdly, my equipment has just farted out this weird sound. I wondered if you could use it.
So hold on. So do you like Ginuwine at all? Do you just dislike Ginuwine?
Listen, Ginuwine is good in context. Pony,
yeah.
Classic, right?
Yeah.
Him on that song, just fuck off.
Can I tell you a Ginuwine story?
Go on.
When I was 17, I went for this weekend to look at a university and to go for an interview. And then basically I took this girl with me, right? And she stayed in the hotel and with me at this little B&B place. And basically she had a nervous breakdown that night, right?
And is this story going to be okay?
It's fine.
Okay, fine.
She had this nervous break, and I sort of talked to her, and we went back to the DMA, you know, and I like, we had a glass of wine, and like, I lit some candles, put some music on, and just like went to sleep. And like, you know, I reassured her, and she felt much better, and she thanked me the next day. It was a really heartfelt thank you.
Yeah.
I went to school on the Monday,
yeah,
and people were looking at me funny and laughing.
Right.
And eventually my mate, who whenever anything bad happened to me, his name is Simon, I could see it in his eyes, oh, there's something bad that's happened that I don't know about yet, because he was so excited to tell me. But Ben, you're not going to believe this. He said, what the fuck did you do last on the weekend? I went, what do you mean? She had told everyone that I'd gone back to the bed and breakfast, I'd locked her in the bathroom, right? I had lit over 100 candles round this very small bed and breakfast room. I had put on Ginuwine Pony, opened the door, she came out, I was lying on the bed, naked, and the kicker was, I was rubbing Ferrero Rochers onto my nipples. Everyone knew that.
What? Hold on, knew that?
People just walked past me at lunch and go, Monsieur, with this Ferrero Rocher, you're really spoiling us. Right. I had that for like a year.
Okay, I've got a few questions. First of all,
I played Ginuwine once, if that's what you're asking.
During that evening?
Yeah.
Okay, so you played Ginuwine. Were there Ferrero Rocher there?
No.
Okay, all right, fine.
No.
Was any element apart from you playing Genuine?
There was a candle.
So there was a candle. So already you're weakening on your position here. Because the way you initially tell that story is that nothing. God, she can't believe she's come up with this. Now there was a candle and there was Genuine. So she's correct on those two things. Were you naked?
No, I was not naked. There was chocolate, but I didn't. It wasn't.
What
for
did you do with the chocolate?
I just ate it in my mouth.
So you had chocolate with you at this bedroom, but you just ate it.
But I couldn't listen to Genuine like for ages after that.
Hold on, dude, don't move it on. Why did she come up with this story? Is there anything that you did that might have led her to think that, was your behaviour weird?
The thing that upsets me is that I could not have been any nicer to this mental case.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I think she was like, I mean, I can't. I might have tried to finger her. No, I didn't. I didn't. But I don't understand it. It was really bad.
Did you confront her about this?
No, I never saw her again. I did try. This is what's so pathetic, actually. That's the other, oh God.
This is what's so pathetic.
No, honestly, though, this is how desperate I was just to have a girlfriend or just someone like me. I still tried to go on another date with her.
Oh, my God.
She never replied.
Oh my God.
I tried to sort
what
of text. I'd actually had forgotten. I think I texted. I don't remember. It might have been before texting. It might have been before you really texted, I think it was. So I must have called and left a voice, like a message with her mum, probably. I don't know. Anyway, I must have called and
getting sadder and sadder.
And I just sort of went, oh, there seems to have been a bit of a funny miscommunication. Fancy Pizza Express on Sunday, but I'd never heard.
Do you know why you never heard from her again? Because that's one of the most pathetic things I've ever heard. And listen, by the way, I'm talking to someone who's got no game whatsoever. But, dude, how would you expect that relationship to go? What kind of levels of respect do you think she'd have for you?
It was pathetic.
I'm sorry that you spread that story about me rubbing my nipples with Ferrero Rocher.
God, it was so bad. Have you ever heard that? The whole school, like, know something about you that isn't true. I want to really stress that. It really isn't true.
I haven't had that, no.
It's awful.
Although I did on a school trip. I went to France on a school trip to... there's a girl I fancy on the trip. And we were getting the bus back at the end of the trip back to the airport. And the whole group were like there. And I really needed a piss. And we were on the bus, like the coach on the way back to the airport, and I was sort of thinking, I've got to get more and more desperate. But at the same time, I was chatting to the girl, it was going quite well. So I kept talking to her, and then was increasingly conscious that I needed a piss, and then I was just thinking, oh God, oh God, oh God. Anyway, that sounds bad. What actually happened was, is that we got to the airport, and at this point, I thought I was going to do myself an injury. So I jumped out and sort of like, we're waiting for the cases. You know, everything's, when you're in that situation, everything, there seems to be extra things that have to happen, yeah. Right? So like, I was like, oh God, the bags, taking ages to get the bags off. Oh, fucking hell, Miss Sherlock's taking fucking ages to get the bus. I was like, this old bitch. So then we get into the airport. And it's arguably the most humiliating way it could have played out, is... me and a couple of other guys that needed to go to the toilet, went to the toilet, in the full view of the group, by the way, this is by the queue, so they're queuing up to check in for the flight. We go, we need to go to the toilet. We run over to the toilet, and I can't explain why this happened, but as I touched the handle on the toilet door, my body went, you've made it, and I pissed myself at the door of the toilet. Like, just...
Did you try and take hair dry your jeans, or how did you?
Well, I was with some other guys that sort of.
Okay.
It
was out.
It was out. I went in. They were very nice about it.
Yeah.
They went out and spoke to the teachers, who then the girl I liked and all the rest of the group watched as the teacher opened my suitcase, pulled out another pair of jeans, and said, "Take that to Pissy Pants for me." And then I had to get changed. I came around in a completely different pair of jeans, and everyone pretended it didn't happen.
Did you ever get with her?
What do you think? I don't think I ever spoke to her again. I think I've recently friended her on Facebook. Okay, anyway. Digression. By the way, yeah, that is a digression. So the point of the story is Savage Henry, I think you're probably right. I don't think that it would have had the same impact. But I do think that Nas would have been heralded as an amazing MC. Next thing is from, I can't believe he's replied to this, some fucking Tony Bellew, the boxer. He has said, many a hip-hop song has inspired me, but the truth is... Okay, I don't know what you think about it. Have you read this question?
No, go on.
Okay, because it's sort of like an opinion thing. And just to give you an idea of how popular it was, there's a bit of a story behind this. Anyway, look, shall I just get to the point? So Tony Bellew has tweeted, many a hip-hop song has inspired me, but the truth is 90% are telling lies about the lives they've lived. Not all, but most. My question is, why isn't more artists making tracks to inspire the youth? I feel the UK artists are, but why don't the big ones in the US follow suit? And then, and this is where it takes a bizarre turn, there is a reply to that tweet from Brian McFadden. And he says... Oh, I'm not making this up. He says...
You've got the weirdest Twitter following.
He says, I apologise, and I'd like to clarify to the youth listeners that I am not and never have actually flown without wings.
That's quite good.
It's very good. I mean, do we have an opinion on this point that Tony's making?
I mean... So hold on, is the point that because American artists are pretending to be something they're not, that is not inspiring?
Well, he's sort of conflated two points there, I think. Because one point is that they're lying about what they've been up to.
Get it fucking straight, come on.
Yeah. And then the other one is that US artists are sort of not doing anything to inspire young people. Basically, I think what we're talking about...
Walk on water, that's inspiring.
Yeah, true. Yeah, really inspiring.
Don't have to, you know, what that inspired me... What Walk on Water inspired me, and it's probably a classic in the making, is like, they're not who we think they are. They're fragile. We think they can walk on water. We think they're Jesus. I always thought Beyonce was Jesus.
I think about that song is there's a slight irony of a man sort of complaining about the level of expectation placed upon him while making arguably the shittest song that he's ever created in the history of his career. That song is fucking awful. By the way, not as bad, however, as him, Chance the Rapper, on SNL. Like, have you seen...
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't actually watched SNL, but they did a trailer for it.
I saw that with the three of them. Doing
Leslie Jones, Chance the Rapper, and Eminem.
Yeah.
It was bad. Anyway. But Tony Bellew...
Was that when they were trying to choose Chance's new name? Didn't they do a bit on that?
Yeah, listen, Chance the Rapper's great. Yeah. Eminem's great. Leslie Jones is great.
Yeah. That's a trio.
I'm not complaining about them as people.
Yeah.
But I think that trailer thing's... Obviously, they're trying to make a joke thing at the advert for it. And I think Eminem at one point... They're trying to think of other names for Chance.
Chance, that was it, yeah.
And then at one point, Eminem says Chance of the Dancer.
Yes. Haven't they got... I don't know a lot about that, but haven't they got a team of writers, about 20 people?
Yeah, but I don't think, the truth is, you don't think about that bit, do you? Because you think, like, we've got Leslie Jones, we've got Chance the Rapper, we've got Eminem.
Well, you don't bother thinking.
I just think, if you spent ages writing the show,
yeah,
that's got to be, I reckon...
What's a week off for them?
Well, I reckon they've gone, oh, we've got to do the trail for this.
Oh, I see, okay.
Then we've got to do the trail for this, and then they go, oh, have them trying to guess... names for Chance, because there's one point where Chance, he goes, Eminem goes, I'm with Chance the Rapper, hold on, I thought I was the rapper, and that's how it all starts. Oh god. Also, this is another thing, aesthetically I don't think Eminem should have that beard. There you go. Okay, so
when's he next, is he coming on the podcast?
Yeah, he probably won't listen, will he? Tony Bellew.
Oh yeah, sorry,
I
want
to address this. I do agree that that is sort of, I think that some hip hop has sort of become like misogyny porn. Do you know what I mean? What I mean by that is, like, I think it's sort of for the record labels, like NWA Straight Outta Compton. Then after that, there's loads of hip hop moved in that direction of like thug stuff and gangster stuff and things like that. And there's a load of negative stuff. But I remember like Ice Cube, when Ice Cube was like at his peak, just before he released Predator, I remember reading an interview with him and he said that he didn't want to do all that sort of gangster stuff. This is at the time. Obviously, he sort of changed direction since then. But he didn't want to do that gang stuff. He wanted to do more conscious stuff, but people wouldn't buy the records. So his argument was that he does the sort of gangstery stuff and throws in like a little nugget of sort of consciousness here and there.
But can I present a different argument to that, which is that I would argue the last thing I particularly want to hear is a rapper be inspiring. It's fucking boring. What do you want? It's like, you know, I've not listened. So I've never thought, oh, I'm going to put Scarface on to really get spiritual and like improve myself as a person.
Yes. Yeah.
Why do they? I mean, it's just like there is that available. I can't think. I mean, you know, is it saying that it's not intelligent rap is a different thing, but to say it has to be like inspire youth feels like a weird thing to request of any music.
Yeah. I think inspire is a step. To ask for everything to be inspirational is difficult, isn't it? It's a big ask. Positive, maybe. I mean, that's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
But even then, like...
Why?
I know. Well, it depends, doesn't it?
It feels like, weird because I think because, like, hip-hop's got, you know, there's a stronger emphasis on lyrics, obviously, than, like, indie or whatever, that you feel like it needs to say something more. I mean, if it's just funny or there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. It doesn't, like... That's mostly what I actually like to listen to, stuff that's actually just made me laugh or is...
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, next question. That question, I think, felt too big for us to tackle, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not...
I'll be honest, that's probably going to come out.
I mean, most of these actually require, you know, some intelligence.
Do you want to pick the next question to answer?
Can I pick one not to answer?
Okay.
Compare and contrast the career paths of Eminem and Jess, where the Return of the Drifter is the Slim Shady LP, Falling Down is the Marshall Mathers LP, and New Proof Suit is the Eminem Show. For example, is there an argument that Return of the Drifter is actually Infinite, etc. question mark.
Okay.
It's not a fucking GCSE essay, mate.
Who was that from?
Jamie Keane. I mean,
okay, Jamie, you have provided a
compare and contrast.
You provided a solid argument why 280 characters on Twitter is an error. No, I'm joking.
Jamie's... You are going to be using that for your solo podcast. I can imagine you. That's fucking episode 2 right there.
Jamie, it's an interesting theory. I don't know.
But how... I actually, because I read that and I thought, I kind of wanted to say that's an awful... And then I wanted to have a really good answer for it.
Well, what I would say is,
okay, good.
Is that the difference between Eminem and Jest is that while Eminem's whiteness and the time that he came out meant that he was, it actually escalated his potential fame and popularity, Jest being British and white actually meant that his music, as talented as he is, was not given the sort of the audience that it should have been. And so actually, I would argue they almost exist in direct opposition to each other with regards to career path in relation to talent. What do you think of that?
Holy shit.
I just freestyled that.
I kind of want to be horrible to you, but that was good.
Thank you.
That's an B+? Excellent.
I think so, yeah. If you want to hear more stuff like that, tweet me to hear the solo podcast.
Yeah. I would, yeah. That would, if you finished it with in conclusion, I always, yeah. That would have really, or therefore, thereof, thereafter. No, it's in conclusion. Yeah. The one they
hence.
Liked. Hence. But that was great.
Okay, thank you.
I did love Infinite. Did you?
I just haven't, because the truth is, I bought the Marshall the Slim Shady LP, right?
Yeah.
It's like that was my first record that I got into. And then I sort of went back to the Infinite.
Didn't like it?
I don't know that I didn't like it. Just didn't... That wasn't the first thing I'd heard by him.
And I was listening to
Slim Shady was so amazing.
Yeah, I was listening to a thing about him and Proof.
Yeah.
And how, maybe everyone knows this, but like how they, Proof went off to New York to like, Slim Shady was doing, Eminem was doing Infinite, and Proof went off to New York, and then like, I might be getting this all wrong, but this is what he was saying. And basically didn't get a deal, and came, basically just got on the phone to Eminem, and we've just got to come up with aliases. To just come up with the most disgusting shit we can think of.
Right.
That's how we're going to get big. And that's when he came up with Eminem and Slim Shady and did...
I mean, what I would argue in hearing that story is that Bizarre took it way...
Fucking made the cat and fucking shit in your mum's mouth.
I didn't realise it was such a conscious sort of... I guess it has to be, doesn't it?
It takes it away from it a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like I heard a thing about... Busta Rhymes, that everything about him was calculated. Like, you know when he came out with the big dreads and the funky hat, the Dr. Seuss hat, and like, you know, did that, all of that shit. Like, that wasn't organic. I don't know if that's true. That's what somebody told me, that everything is a very calculated move to be wacky and stuff like that.
Like headbutting a ram.
Yeah. Because like, did you ever listen to Leaders of the New School?
No.
So that was the group that he was in. And he was, I mean, obviously people evolved, but he looked totally like normal. I mean, although, on What's a Scenario, that verse was sick. But like, do you remember like, I don't know why we're talking about Busta Rhymes now, but what were we talking about, Eminem? No.
We were talking about Eminem, we moved on though.
Okay, fine. Let's go to the next question, you choose one.
Okay, I want to do, explain why Big L... was the greatest rapper of all time.
So this is good for you because you.
Yeah, this is the one I.
First of all, do you think that Big L's the greatest rapper of all time?
I mean, I guess I would put him up there with Biggie, I think.
You put Big L up with Biggie?
Yeah. Because okay. anything with Big Pun.
Do you know what I love? Sorry,
I would put Big Pun up.
I love when somebody gives an opinion, even if I think there might be some validity in it.
Yeah.
Just to repeat it back to them.
Well, because it just
makes you question yourself. Yeah, go on.
I think are you not a fan?
I'm a massive fan.
Oh, okay.
I think Big L's amazing.
Okay. I've just listened to Big Picture more than any other album, I think.
Right.
And I mean, look, I think people say that he would have gone on to, you know, to eclipse Jay-Z but in terms of like punchlines, flow, he had great producers working with it. I mean, I think a lot of Big Picture happened after he died, but Primo came on and did stuff for it. Yeah. But like, I just love it.
I mean, Ebonics is an amazing song, right?
It's actually my least favourite.
Okay. Have you listened
to... The freestyle, the 98 freestyle, I won't do it for you, but I think I've written out every word of that. I just love that. It's got one of my favourite lines, which is so silly, but I'm not gonna, even me saying it sounds just terrible. I'll just give you the punchline.
Okay.
Ask Beavis, I get nothing but head. I think is a great punchline.
Did you like Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous?
I did, not as much. But I think, I don't know why, I just think it wasn't quite as... there's the like Heist as well. Have you heard?
Yes.
I just love it.
I would say, if you haven't listened to Big L, I don't know, will Big L stand up to...
Yeah,
okay.
100%.
So check out Big L, but...
especially that album, I would say more than Lifestyle of the Rich and Dangerous.
I think listen to both of them, but there's that lyric where he goes, he says, when it comes to Nookie, I'm not a rookie, I've got girls that make that Tony Braxton chick look like Whoopi. Yeah,
good.
That's good. Boy, it's talented.
Talented boy.
Which brings us on to a question.
But would you put him high? How high up is he for you?
I think he's one of the best ever. But then I think death helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because...
There was a rumour that he died of AIDS and that he asked someone to kill him. Because I think someone close to him got arrested for shooting him.
Right.
But someone told me, and I feel like that's enough for me to now repeat.
Somebody told you.
I realise that I'm basing this on no research, but I'm pretty sure someone said he had AIDS, he didn't want it to come out, because he talks a lot about getting the germ, he talks a lot about, like, having sex without a rubber, and, like, he sort of seems to be quite he seems quite preoccupied with unprotected sex. And right. if it's his, so I think people thought that was his way of saying, guys, and obviously it was the 90s as well, like, you know, I've bloody got AIDS.
But isn't it, if he had got AIDS, but,
yeah,
isn't it deeply irresponsible to then rap a lot about having sex without a condom?
Well, I thought,
but surely you've learned from is. That, and you'd sort of you'd be going, guys, make sure you wear a condom. Ask Beavis, I get nothing but head, but when I'm having sex, penetrative sex, I wear a Jimmy hat. Would you do that?
Maybe he wanted to normalise AIDS.
Normalise AIDS. That is it. That is a radical. So he wanted to normalise AIDS. Yeah. Go on. No. I want to see it through.
So, well, no, I don't, maybe it's not correct, but like,
so you wanted everyone to get AIDS?
Not everyone, but if let's say 10% have AIDS, and it's, because obviously at that time, the sort of the rap community is quite homophobic, right. And so it was associated with gay sex a lot at the time. So maybe it's like, if more people go out and, you know, get a bit of it, then it would.
So you think rather than Big L just coming out and going, listen, I've got AIDS, but I am straight. So that sort of shows you, doesn't it? It's not all just homosexual people getting AIDS. Yeah. Rather than doing that, he decided to encourage unprotected sex.
And when that
so that enough of a percentage of heterosexual people got AIDS, so people go, oh, maybe Big L isn't gay, because like shit loads of people got AIDS.
That didn't work. He got a friend to kill him.
Wow. Can you imagine making that phone call? Just mate, do you know this thing about trying to get enough of the world's population to have AIDS? It didn't work out, man, so I needed to come over and just...
I don't know if that's true, by the way. I just want to...
No, I know that. Yeah, it's you know, in many ways, it shows how little you've learned your lesson, because despite having that rumour spread about you, about the Ferrero Rocher on the nipples and the genuine, despite knowing how harsh a false rumour can be, you've decided to do this thing about Big L. I mean, it's a sad thing. That girl's
it might not be true.
It might not be true. Oh, by the way, I should say, while we're talking about things that aren't true, that lobster thing was bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
It is bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
Dude, I've had like 5-6 tweets linking me.
Right, to... I've got 5-6 tweets saying, great, telling the story.
Yeah, telling the story?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's true, does it?
So you're saying because 5 people are unsure it's true?
No, I got linked. Well, they
but
said
you can't know someone that hasn't had the lobster that thing done.
What?
You can't know... You can't go, well, I've never met anyone that's happened to.
No.
So that's not
the
true.
The specific story you told on the last podcast is untrue. That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, but I'm saying you've got no evidence for it being untrue.
The proof is not in my... It's not my responsibility to provide proof of non-existence. You've got no proof of that story happening.
But no, I had the proof of the day.
What's the proof?
That
you'd heard it from someone.
No, but I haven't got it with me. But it's an article. It was a famous article.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you, somebody tweeted me with a link to Snopes. You know Snopes?
No.
Snopes is where they debunk stupid stories.
Yeah, but that's just like... That sounds like one of those sort of hate camp... Like you know, those things on the internet are just like, that's shit. Fake news.
No, what you did was fake news.
But that's the thing, I guess it's an opinion.
It's not an opinion. What you said was not true.
Should we do another one?
Okay, come on. Okay, next question. Do you want me to pick one?
Yeah, go on.
What is stopping UK hip hop from getting big radio play? And that is from Zick, @amatory_Zick. What do you think?
Fucking hell. I guess. What is it? Are we saying UK? Are we allowing grime into that? Are we allowing?
I don't. This is, that question. Sort of part of the reason I brought it up is because that question is when I was growing up. That's all we used to talk about. Me on it. How come UK hip hop isn't getting the play it deserves, man?
So I was listening to Garage then, probably.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, I was.
And it was all over the place. For better, for worse, well, for worse. Probably.
But I remember thinking, well, because like French hip hop, I remember when I was growing up, French hip hop was massive. Not over here, MC but in Sola. France. Yeah, MC Sola, NTM. Yeah. I guess that's it.
It shouldn't be funny, should it? It's really unfair to just mock an entire genre of music.
But, no, listen, I love MC Solo. I didn't buy one of his albums.
I went to go and see him.
But what I would say is the French have the advantage of, or the French rappers have the advantage of, they've got a different language.
Mm.
So they they've got a reason to listen to French rappers over American rappers, whereas we don't.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So that's probably why grime has got so big, because it's like, it's not, it just sounds very different.
Well, I guess you could, is it fair to, but then so much music, you could, it does it get dismissed because people feel like it's derivative and therefore not, you have less of a right to be doing it. It's like, oh, we've just stolen. Then all music was stolen from.
Well, all music's influenced by different music, but like you listen to, like we've been playing UK hip hop to people over here.
Yeah.
And nobody's saying, oh, that's derivative. Like they're not going, that's like, they're trying to be like America's. It sounds completely different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and like, you know, you listen to someone like Ocean Wisdom, and I'm banging on about him just because he's got this new song out that's come out recently. But like, they haven't got rappers. Like, it doesn't sound anything like UK, like US hip hop. Do you know what I mean? So, in answer to this person's question, because it does, there's another question where somebody said, why aren't there any like loads of UK rappers? There are shitloads of great UK rappers, and they're all making great music. You need to check out. But obviously, we've got like people like Lil Kana. We've got like all the High Focus crew. Mouse Outfit, like there's loads. So you're wrong. That's what I'm saying. I don't mean you're wrong in a horrible way. I mean you're wrong. Do you know what I mean? I'm gonna go at you. Okay, next question.
Billy. Yeah. Do you need to do the at thing though?
Yeah, you have to like
at
you have to give
Billy
a
0990.
Okay.
What happened to Ja Rule? Why was the label he signed to called Murder Inc.? Were they part of an international assassination organization? I get the joke.
This guy's gone to the trouble.
I know. No. I get it. But, can you find a person that will admit to liking Ja Rule? Have you ever met anyone in your life?
Do you know that song he did with J Lo? Was it with J-Lo?
Which one are you going for? That one.
No, the one. The clothes. So that song, right? That song. The first time I heard it, it was live. They performed it at some awards show or something, right?
Yeah.
And Ja Rule's like, oh, maybe it's the way. I remember watching it. What the fuck is he doing? What is this, man?
I read a really sad interview about him where I think it was a while ago where he did like a Foot Locker commercial. Did you ever see it?
No.
It was sort of taking a piss about his whole career. But the interview...
So was he sort of laughing at himself about it?
He was, but what was very clear about the interview that I was read is that he was not aware that that's what was going on.
Oh my God.
It was just heartbreaking because I think it was called A Week of Greatness, right? Which was all about like you know, it being a short period of time of being, but like it's almost like that bit of it. He thought it was like putting him as one of the greats.
Oh right.
It was just. I felt very bad for him. But I've just never met anyone that I've never met anyone. Because I'm a huge Ja Rule fan.
Did you see the thing about Fire Festival that he organised?
No.
Do you know about this?
No.
So he organised this luxury music festival in the Bahamas. It was like super expensive. I'm just reading here. Due to feature performances from Blink-182, Skepta, organised by Ja Rule. And basically, they just had no idea how to set up a festival. So all these people paid shitloads of money. The problem is not everybody had a lot of sympathy because you're going to a music festival in the Bahamas, so I hope you have a shit time, right? But they didn't have enough food there. Like, they didn't have proper, like, infrastructure set up. Like, they're not proper tents and stuff. So people were, like, turned up there and then they were just fucking stranded on this island. And then they were given food to sort of keep them going until they're able to go back home. And like people were tweeting pictures of like a burger bun with like a one bit of shred of lettuce in it and shit like that. It was mad.
But they had Ja Rule to entertain them.
Yeah, well that was the worst
funny
thing.
Maybe it's the food that
we are living it up.
I'm gonna refund you.
Oh my God.
It was bad, yeah. Okay, let's do one more question because we've been doing.
My phone's just
done. Okay,
I'm so back up.
I'm
back
then
up.
We're going to finish, all right?
Please get your mum in. Yeah. I wanted to ask you actually something that from this. I thought it was a good question. Is it okay to say to my kids, come to your shubs and ling it down, or do I sound like a tool?
Come
Is
to your shubs and ling it down. Shubs, come to your party I lay it down. Huh? That's my Kano. What do you think?
Is there an age
limit? Come to your shubs, son.
Okay.
Lay it down.
Okay.
He does pum pum stinks out the A13. Vector exit. What do you think?
Is there an age limit on reciting hit?
You can't run rhythm like me. What do you think of my Kano impression? Just give me a feedback.
Do a full verse.
I'm in too deep. Oh, because I'm in too deep. Yeah? Come to your shubs and ling it down. What do you think of
you
that?
You sound ill. What's wrong with you?
You can't run with him like me. does sound like Kano, doesn't it? You got his pum pum stinks like the A13 Becton exit. Anyway, go on.
What?
Come to your shubs and ling it down.
What will him down? Why is he developed Parkinson's?
Mum, we're recording the podcast. Welcome, Shanti. Come on in.
Hi.
Mom.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine, Ben. Thank
you. This is the microphone here.
Okay.
Mum, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So we're gonna just play you one song.
Yeah.
And Ben, do you want to choose something, or do you want me to?
Okay, listen. I'm gonna play one.
Okay, well, let me play one after. So listen, while Ben's doing that, somebody said to me, can you please give some recommendations for stuff that you're listening to? Oh my God. Okay, just listen to this here.
Hey,
Charming.
So high, is it the bar I set? My arms I stretch, but I can't reach. A far cry from it, or it's in my grasp. But as soon as I grab squeeze, I lose my grip like the flying trapeze. Into the dark I plummet. Now the sky's blackening. I know the mark's high, but flies rip apart my stomach. Knowing that no matter what bars I come with, you're gonna
heartbreak. Stop it. Mom, what do you think of that?
I like that. I like that.
Excellent. Yeah.
I like it. Why?
Because I think it's awful.
No. Whatever he says is true, though.
What do you mean? What, the flies rip his stomach?
Whatever who says, Eminem or me? Me.
Eminem.
Oh, okay.
Whatever he says is true.
Yeah.
So you like that? Okay, so anyway, somebody said that they wanted us to recommend some stuff. So I'm recommending on this podcast, the album to listen to is Big Crit, Forever is a Mighty Long Time. That is Big Crit. I'm also very excited about the new Hopson album that's coming out. So, Mum, I'm going to play you a song from the Big Crit album, and this is called Confetti. I'm just picking a random song from the album.
Nah, yo, confetti ain't even hip. These niggas fucking up the game, that shit is so suspicious. You ain't buy it all unless you blew a ticket. All off in the VIP, but you ain't fuck them bitches. I'ma bowl all summer just to flex for Christmas. Angel wings on the doors, I got a suplex. Money don't make you fly, that's just my perspective. Running up the skull to expose a bluff. Cause nowadays getting the win just ain't enough.
What do you think?
I didn't understand what he was saying.
Okay.
But I understood
Eminem. Yeah. Okay, yes, good. Yes. Right. So you preferred, out of those two songs, out of Walk on Water with Eminem featuring Beyonce and Big Crit Confetti, you preferred Eminem. With Beyonce. One of the worst hip hop songs in the history of the art.
Can I? Okay. Yes. By the way, Shanti, I want you to know that I really wanted you in for the whole podcast I brought up at the front, but it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Never mind. Next time.
Did you want to be on the whole podcast?
No, if you want me to, I would have enjoyed. I love music, so.
Okay.
Would have been nice.
Never mind. I'll listen next time.
Okay, well, look, that is all that we've got time for this. Weirdly, for a bonus app, we've recorded much longer than we did for a normal app, so that's good. Ben, do you want to plug anything? I normally ask people.
No.
Mum, do you want to plug anything?
No.
You got any new projects coming out that you want?
No.
You've got a lot. What are you going to plug?
Yeah.
Oh, no, nothing. Check out our show when it comes out. All right, cool. Listen. So make sure you listen to the Big Crit album. And if you've got any other questions you want us to address on the podcast, we'll try and pepper them in through the normal ones, if you know what I mean. And that's it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.